Good morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is the house that God has provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you all, glad you're part of the family of God.
Amen.
You know, last week we talked about getting our heart in the right condition, the right type of soil, if you will, so that when God's word was sown in our heart, it would blossom and flourish and remain. It would not die and it would not wither. And I thought today we could expound a little bit on one of the ways we can get our heart into the right condition. We talked about turning over the soil, if you will, and that is repentance. That is how we turn over the soil in our heart and make it ready for God. Seed to take hold. And our text this morning is Psalm 51, and I invite you to turn in your Bibles and follow along as I read. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide in your face my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God. Save the God who saves me and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. I don't know how long, 10 days ago or so ago, when we had 10 or 12 snowflakes fall, it got me to thinking about the crystal formation of snowflakes. And there are special cameras, believe it or not, that are designed to photograph snowflakes. And if you will Google snowflakes on the computer, you will at some point find a site where there are pictures of these beautiful, beautiful snowflakes taken by these special cameras. But each snowflake possesses a different shape and is a different size, yet each snowflake has a characteristic common to all snowflakes, and that is a dirty heart. You see, the center of each snowflake is a formation of dirt which holds the flake together. Now, I didn't know this till I did the research, and I think of all the times I stood in the snow and stuck it in my tongue and called snowflakes on my tongue, and then I find out that the center of them is made of dirt. But we are God's greatest creations. We are his pride and joy, and all of us are different, yet we too have a common characteristic, and that is a dirty heart from sin. Everyone is marked by sin. Therefore, we all have to pay the penalty or the consequences for our sinful actions. So the dirty heart is one thing we all have in common because original sin follows and flows through every human life. And we talked last week about ridding ourselves of this sin so that the soil will be fertile for God's seed to grow. Now this Psalm 51, the background for the psalm is both personal and corporate in nature. David wrote the psalm as a lament for himself and for the nation of Israel. And it's a song, this psalm is a song of repentance. And the circumstances which prompted the writing of this psalm was a confrontation with Nathan. Between Nathan and David. Nathan, a prophet, was a friend and counselor to David. And he rebuked David because of David's affair with Bathsheba and because her husband Uriah was killed at David's command. So this psalm is David's song of repentance for those sins and his request for forgiveness from God. So in verses 1 and 2, David pleads for mercy and forgiveness. He realizes that he has sinned, and he asks God to grant him mercy because David understands the need for mercy and grace. And as a result of grace, forgiveness comes about. It must be sought before it can be given. We must ask for God's grace, and we must realize that as a result of forgiveness, we are cleansed or washed of our sin. In verses 3 through 6, David confesses his sins, if you were listening and following along, and he shows contrition. He knows his actions against God were evil. He knows they were sinful, and he knows God judges sins and that his judgments are righteous and just. And David accepts God's verdict in his life. And he talks to God about his, David's, rebellion. And he confesses his sinful nature. And he requests God to teach him. Because the only way to be right with God is to follow his ways. The ways that God shows us. In verses 7 through 12, David prays. He asks for God to cleanse him. He says, use the hyssop. Now, hyssop is a herbal plant or bush that the priest used in David's time to clean the ceremonial places in the temple and also to clean the sacrifices that were brought in. They would use the hyssop branches and leaves to do this. And so he is referring to God's forgiveness, and he petitions God to clean him, and he asks God to act as the priest and clean his life and wash him clean of the sins. And this cleansing act is very symbolic, just like our baptism today. It was a symbol of a new life and a new relationship with God. And David prays that God will cleanse him. And he prays for joy, which he knows can only come from God. If you're not in a right relationship with God, there will be no joy in your life. There will be no peace in your life. Sinful behavior destroys that ability to have rest in God and to know joy and peace from the security of being right with God. So David is praying for this, and he knows that forgiveness and cleansing will restore his relationship to God, and the divine favor which flows from God, which is the source of that relationship, will be his again. Because when the relationship between us and God is not right, then there is no divine favor. In verses 13 through 17, David offers thanksgiving. He realizes his sin. He asks for forgiveness and receives a right relationship with God. Now he knows the sweetness of forgiveness, and he says, I will teach the transgressors. Use me, Lord. I want to become an instrument of restoration. So he asks that prayer, and he realizes that he has been delivered from his blood guilt through God's forgiveness. And he knows that praise and thanks is the correct responses for what God has done in his life. In verses 18 through 19, David prays for national restoration. You know, you have to realize when you sin, just as when David sinned, his sins not only affected him and Bathsheba and the soldiers that he commanded to kill Uriah, but it affected the nation of Israel. As king, his relationship with God affected the entire kingdom. So David is asking for God not only to forgive him, but also to forgive the nation of Israel and therefore restore Israel to favor in his eyes. I think we would be remiss not to note that David, although he was forgiven for his sin, still had to live with the consequences of his actions. God granted the grace to David, washed him clean, but there were repercussions because of his actions. Just because you assault somebody or rob somebody and then pray for forgiveness with a sincere heart and that forgiveness is granted doesn't mean it's over there. You have to live with the consequences. You probably will have to spend time in prison. Your family will be affected. Those victims of your actions will be affected. So David has to realize that there were repercussions because of his actions, and there were serious repercussions in David's case. You know, his entire family was affected. His children violated one another. There was upheaval and rebellion in the household. One son killed another son. So we have to realize that this is not because God did not forgive David. It's because of David's actions that consequences flow. God forgave David. God extended his grace and cleansed him from those sins. But there are prices to pay, and we have to pay those prices here on earth that our sins affect us and others. So how can we apply this text to our lives and be repentant? First, we need to ask for mercy. God is willing to forgive sin, but a request must be made to him for his grace and for his mercy. He's always listening for us to renew our relationship once we have sort of not broken it, but damaged it because of our sin. He's hopeful each and every time that we offer a prayer, or each and every day he's hopeful that we will renew that relationship. So let's rely upon God's mercy. It's his gift to humanity. We must confess our sinful behavior. You know, God already knows our sins. You've heard this many, many times before. So we're not telling him anything he does not know, but he is still willing to forgive. We need to seek his grace. We need to seek his forgiveness. We need to ask him to wash away our sins and make us pure in his sight. We need to request restoration of favor in God's eyes. If we are to be placed back into a right relationship with God, then we must request that. And this restores the divine favor between us and God and allows the blessings of God to be given to us, to give us a new joy and a new peace in our lives. We must give thanks to God. Forgiveness is a divine act of mercy. We all know it's not something we earn. It's a divine act of mercy, and the proper response is thanksgiving to God. We must thank God for His grace and thank Him for His love and offer praise for what He does in our lives. And we must also request corporate restoration. We are not alone in being impacted by our sins. As I said, it affects those who are directly involved. Affects those on the periphery, our family and our friends, but it also affects others. So we must remember that David, when he was king, he sinned and that affected the entire nation. And when we sin, then the church is affected. Not only those involved, but our entire body of believers. So we must request not only restoration of favor to us, but also to those affected by our actions. And even though sin is forgiven, as I pointed out in David's case, there are after effects. They must be addressed, and we must remember that God forgives when our hearts are sincere, but the effects of the sin may last a lifetime. So I thought if we thought about that and expanded our study of repentance, if you will, it might give us a better understanding of what we need to do. And one thing I want to point out, I thought about that this morning coming to church, is so often I think we pastors give the impression from the pulpit that repentance is the key to Christianity, and once you have that initial key, you don't need it anymore. That's not true. Repentance is an ongoing need in our lives because we sin. We have ongoing sin in our life. So don't ever think that you don't need to ask for repentance just because you became a Christian, and God washed those sins away at that time. Remember, we need to confess our sins to Him and to turn 180 degrees back to the Lord each and every time we break that bond, that right relationship with God by our sins. And if you're here this morning and you have not confessed your sins to God and you have not received His grace and His gift of salvation, we invite you to come this morning and do just that. Make a public profession of your faith in Him. And we'll pray with you and lead you as to where you need to go from that point.